All right. Back to our lesson here, and like I said, just a few more notes. Okay, we just see before the break, we see that the Ye and only the Ye was the one who was authorized to go make disciples, and whenever you go to the them, this them that are made disciples by the Ye are to be baptized and to be taught all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. And he says, teaching them to observe. What does the word observe mean? Well, one thing that the word observe means is to watch, to look at, right? You could go out and observe nature, and we're observing, watching, looking at what nature is. But the word observe also means to follow after, or to carry, or to keep, to observe the things that Jesus has taught. Whenever the priest in the Old Testament was given all of the service of the priesthood, the sprinkling of the blood, the washings that they did, the clothes that they had to put on, all this stuff, whenever they did that, they were observing the things that God had given them to do, right? Okay, well, whenever Jesus here is saying, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, he's saying, teaching them to follow or to do all the things that I've told you to do. And so the ye then has been given some specific things to carry out by Christ and in a specific way. And so we're beholden to Christ as our head to follow what he has taught us to do. And we are to carry that out. And whenever we do that faithfully, then we are being what the Bible would consider being a chaste bride. Okay, we're being a chaste bride. We're not being affected by outward things. We're not looking to outward things. We're doing what our husband has told us to do, and we're loyal to him and to him only. And so that's why we say around here, whenever we study God's Word, you know, this is our final word of authority here. Okay? Are we Baptists? Yeah. That isn't a denomination. I've mentioned that to you before. We don't believe in being a Baptist to be in some denomination. We are Baptists because that is the ministry of the local church, is to be what John the Baptist was sent to do, to prepare people for the Lord. Isn't that what this is saying right here? That ye is to go to the disciples and prepare them by baptizing and teaching them all things whatsoever commands, so that they might be incorporated into the ye and perpetuate that faith given to the saints once back then. That's what we're to do. And so we observe all things. We continue in the things that Christ has commanded us to do. And whenever we do those, we faithfully do those, then we're, as the Bible says, we are a chaste bride. We're a chaste bride. And so he says there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus here promises the local church, those who have gathered in his name, those who are baptized believers, who are holding the gospel, who are holding the ordinances and all the things that Christ has commanded, and are perpetuating those things, fulfilling the commission, and it's all three aspects, not just the one, but all three. See, if we're successful in the commission, it's by doing all three of these. Whenever I was an Arminian and I just believed in this part of the commission, the go part, you know, we would go and we'd tell people, like I said earlier, you know, go find the church of your choice, and we wouldn't instruct them about baptism. All we wanted is just that profession of faith. And a lot of times we would have like community meetings and things like that. Well, anytime anybody would come forward and what they would give as an invitation, you know, they would, get their hands raised and mark them down on the card. Oh, look how many people we got saved in our tent meeting or whatever. But yet this part of the commission never was stressed at all. Just let them go flounder wherever they want to light, wherever they want to fall. You know, you've seen the bumper stickers, you know, go to the church of your choice. You know, that's the mentality of the Great Commission to a lot of people. It's just, as long as we're going out and preaching the gospel, then we're, doing the Great Commission. Matter of fact, people that believe in sovereignty and predestination and the doctrines of grace a lot of times are the ones who are monikered with the thing of, oh, you guys don't believe in evangelism. You don't believe in the Great Commission. No, we believe in the Great Commission. We just believe in all of it. We don't believe in just one part of it. We believe in all of it. We believe that we are to instruct them to be baptized and then to teach them in regular meeting all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. It's to that type of ye, it's to that type of church that Jesus has promised His presence. Now, I know that's kind of harsh to say. I know that seems to be sectarian or seclusive and saying, oh, so it's only your church and nobody else's. Well, it's not just our church. It's only those, that's the terminology we use, of like faith and practice. You know, we fellowship with churches of like faith and practice. What does that mean, of like faith? Well, we believe the same gospel. And then of like practice, we believe in the same all things whatsoever Christ has commanded, the observance of those things that Christ has commanded us. You know, we believe in baptism a certain way. We believe in the Lord's Supper a certain way. We believe on the ordained ministry a certain way. We believe on preaching and singing and teaching and all the things that Christ has commanded us to do to be followed by the Word of God. And again, you know, I know there's great confessions of faith out there. You know, I'm pretty familiar with all of them. And they're good for what they are. But the confessions of faith are not our rule of faith. The Word of God is our rule of faith. And if the Bible, you know, goes against something that's in a confession of faith, then we need to not pay attention to what the confession of faith says. If one of our theologians that we love to read, you know, says something different, we need to, you know, it's all things whatsoever Christ has commanded us. And so often we find in church it's all things whatsoever Grandpa has commanded us, or all things whatsoever Grandma has commanded us, or all things whatsoever the association has commanded us, or the denomination has commanded us, or the tradition of man has commanded us. But see, we're to follow what Christ has commanded. And if that causes us to not be part of a certain group, then that's fine. Me and this brother here were just talking about that a while ago. You know, there are going to come times where what we believe is not going to fit in any particular little group. But that's all right. We're not here to fit into groups. We're here to be faithful to Christ and to what He's commanded us. And so sometimes that is going to cause divisions to happen. And we don't want to be mean, or we don't want to be harsh in those times, and as we've seen here before with other folks that have come. We want to do that in a loving way. But there will come a time where somebody, if they don't believe what we believe here, they're going to go and find a place that believes the way that they want to believe. And to that, you know, as anybody would, not only just a pastor, but anybody would say, you know, then, you know, you need to be where the Lord wants you to be. And so, and what I've always told, you know, those that have left, you need to find a place that's doing this right here. You need to find a place that's doing this. They're holding to the gospel and they're doing what the gospel commission tells them to do. And if you find that place, serve in it. Be faithful in that. But we see that it is primarily the commission is to the local church. That's the ye. And there's a strong distinction between the ye and the them, until the them comes to the place that they become the ye. And then once they become the ye, then they're part of that ye that goes out and finds some more of thems, right? So we perpetuate that. And that's where the Bible says that the gates of hell will never prevail against us. As we go out, and any New Testament church that's out there, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against Christ's institution of the New Testament church. They're going to be faithful as long as He allows them to be faithful. He is going to perpetuate as long as He desires for it to be perpetuated. Which He says until the end of the world right here, right? Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Do you want to be in a church where Christ is at? I do.
well, what's our criteria to look for if we're looking for the church? You know, whenever me and Lori was looking for a church for our family, whenever we realized that we weren't fitting in where we was at anymore. They weren't preaching the same gospel, the same Jesus. They weren't preaching the same kind of church that Jesus built. What were we to do? Well, we began to look, trying to find. You know, what was the criteria? Well, the gospel was first and foremost the criteria. And then all those other secondary things, and really, I kind of have to say that somewhat with pause, because everything in the Bible is important. And the secondary things are not necessarily secondary, because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So I can't say one thing is more important than another, although I will say I would rather go to a place that disagrees on some outside things, but yet it's preaching the gospel the way it should be preached. However, we want to find both. We want to find those that not only are preaching the gospel, but are also holding to the ordinances and the service of God in the local church as it pertains to the commands of Christ. And so we do that. And are we going to fail in that? Yeah, we're going to fail in that. And that's why we pray every week. You know, Lord, keep us faithful. Teach us. Show us. All of us are growing and learning and everything. Me included. You know, just because I'm a preacher and a pastor doesn't mean that I'm, you know, infallible. I'm fallible. I still have to learn just like you guys do. I have to study God's Word and learn things. And so, as you've seen in years past, you know, there's things that I've come, and as the Lord's taught me more on things, I've had to, you know, recant a few things, change views. And I think anybody that is a studier of God's Word is going to understand that, because we all come to different understandings, different levels of understanding as the Lord teaches us. And we also want to be careful how we treat each other who don't grasp or understand what we might be saying or teaching, and not to be coarse with them, because number one, the Lord is the one who teaches. And second of all, we have to be careful, as I've said here before, if I would cut off fellowship to everybody that doesn't believe exactly like I do, I wouldn't be able to fellowship with myself a few years ago. Because myself a few years ago was wrong on some things. So we, by prayer and with meekness, long-suffering, we pray that God would peradventure bring everyone to repentance and the acknowledging of the truth. And that's all we can hope for. Is there some fundamental things that we stand on? Absolutely, we do. And that's how, as the church, we teach all things whatsoever Christ commands. I mean, if there isn't a body of doctrine that Christ has given, He said that He gave to the church that once that He has given the faith once for all to the church, if that's not a body of doctrine that is a distinguishable body of doctrine, then everything is subjective. Everything is just subjective. There is some objective things to the church that Christ has given. And so on those things, we must be solid on those things. We must stand firm on that. Be loving while we do it, but we have to stand firm. And then we'll be faithful. If you remember back in Revelation, you'll see there were seven churches that the Lord Jesus had John write to. And those seven churches were very wonderful churches. All those churches had something that the Lord said, hey, I commend you on this. You're doing a great job doing this, but there's this one thing here that I have issue with. And He said, if you don't repent of this, I'm going to remove your candlestick, or I'm going to remove the witness of your church. I'm going to remove you being the light of that place because you're not giving out correct light. And so we have to take that admonishment that even though we may at this point in time be a New Testament church holding to the things of Christ, unless we're kept faithful and we hold to those things that Christ has commanded, we always have the warning that our candlestick can be removed. We've seen that in other places. We've seen that in other churches. man, just to my mind, I mean, I think of a church over in Oklahoma that held to the truth of God's Word in the church for years and years and years. But all of a sudden, ecumenicalism and all kinds of stuff started to creep in. Some of the members that was wanting some of that stuff, and they pushed their pastor out, who was trying to keep them and teach them the truth. And they didn't want to hear it, and they wanted to be more popular in town. And so they pushed him out and brought in some guy to teach what their itching ears wanted to hear. And that church that had been a witness in that town for years and years and years, over a course of just a couple of years, maybe not even that long, has already ceased to exist. It ain't even there. There's nobody meeting there. And that church was one of the first churches that me and my wife and kids went to whenever we were looking for churches where the Lord began to show us and teach that there are people out here that believe the Bible and worship the way the Bible teaches. And we were just amazed at that. And here it is, you know, after a little bit of unfaithfulness to the Word of God, the Gospel, and the way He's commanded for worship to be done, you know, it didn't take long, and that church candlestick was taken away. That's a sad thing to hear. And I sure would hate to see that ever happen in here, so that's why we pray. But Lord, the church is not as strong as the pastor. The church is as strong as the one who meets with the church. Jesus, lo, I'm with you always. As long as the Lord is with us, then we'll be what we ought to be, right? He's promised to keep us. He's promised to keep us in the faith, right? And so we just pray that He would continue to do that. And so that's why we occasionally have to preach on these admonishments. You know, we don't preach heavy on do this and do that and do this, because that's the Spirit's job of telling us that. But yet occasionally we have to preach these admonishments like Paul did, you know. And so we want to be careful and teach all things. So there has to be, in a church, a local church, there has to be doctrine. There has to be teaching. There has to be a fundamental faith that is held in unity by those who attend that church. Otherwise, we're going to be walking in different directions and scattered and not on the same page in our ministerial efforts. That's why the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? You know? We cannot be unequally yoked. We cannot be yoked with those who do not believe the true gospel. We cannot be unequally yoked who believes that the church does things different than how Christ commanded us to do it. Otherwise, we're working against ourselves. And so that's why it's important that we continue to teach these things. I know, and especially for you young kids, you'll hear this a lot, especially on TV and radio and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, church nowadays is, you know, to be this popular, you know, everybody just welcome and come and do whatever you want, think whatever you want. Matter of fact, they all say, you know, doctrine is what divides us and everything. But actually, the Scriptures over and over and over again tell us to watch our life and our doctrine closely. Not just how we walk, but also how we believe, what we believe. And so doctrine is important. Just any old church won't do. And I'm not saying that ours is the only church to do it. There may be other churches around that preach this truth and everything. And if they do, praise the Lord for that. We need more churches that preach this truth and everything. We pray that the Lord keep us faithful in this. But, you know, not just every church is the same. And so, you young kids, I know that sometimes people are pressured to follow after, you know, the crowd and go where the entertainment is and everything. But church isn't about entertainment. It's about studying the Word of God, learning the Word of God, fellowshipping and serving one another, and perpetuating that faith that's given to us. And there's a way that Christ has commanded us to do that, and we want to be obedient to that, right? And everything. There's a lot of fun and entertainment that can be had, and that doesn't mean that we can't have fun together. You know, we have a lot of fun together and we do things together, so it's not about that. But whenever it comes time for the worship of Christ and the church together and its capacity here and everything, it's not about entertainment. Okay? Keep your Xboxes at home and do your Xboxes when you get home. We don't have to do them during the worship service. But to be faithful. So kids, think of that and remember that as you grow older and begin to look for husbands and wives, and your families begin to look for churches, if it's not here and or somewhere else or wherever your spouse takes you, be thinking of those things. That the church is called to maintain and to hold all things whatsoever Christ has commanded you. And it's that type of church that Jesus is with and that will continue to bless. And there is blessing that comes through the Lord's churches. Special blessing. I know all of us can say that. We've all been involved in other churches. And I can see, you know, there's a lot of friendships that can be made in churches that don't believe the gospel or hold the things that Christ commanded. There's a lot of friendship and a lot of good times can be had. But true spiritual fellowship, true spiritual edifying, feeding on God's Word comes in places where Christ is at. And I know some of these brothers, Sister Rowetta and Brother Ed, have been to other places, can attest to that fact, that, you know, you can go to church and hear preaching all day long and still starve to death. Man, we were beginning to starve whenever we weren't hearing the gospel being preached. And, you know, I love my grandpa. He was a great man. He was a faithful preacher at his church. And as I've said before, you know, before he passed away, we had a lot of good discussions. And he even mentioned that some of the things that I was preaching, he thought were true, and that he possibly could have been wrong on a lot of things that he had taught. And that kind of thrilled my heart to hear that and stuff. But, you know, you guys don't believe stuff because I say it, because I'm your dad. You got to listen to the Word of God, follow the Word of God, do what the Word of God tells you to do. But all of this has come from these places where we're not getting fed, and then you come to a place and that's where you get fed. Why? Because that's where the Lord desired set up. If you remember, I mentioned this back at the beginning of our series on the Ecclesia, is that nowadays our mentality is that there's just all these different denominations and churches everywhere. And then there are these people who, you know, I'm not going to worship with those people because I don't agree with them. And so I ain't going to go to church anywhere. I'm just going to sit in my house and everything. Well, we have that today because we're so scattered. We do have the internet. We do have TV. We do have radio. And a lot of people think that if they just follow and listen that way, that they're doing what Christ has commanded. But if you remember back whenever this all started out, as we've seen here in Acts, the model of the church was to make disciples, to baptize those people that are made disciples, and then to teach those the disciples to continue to disciple, to be followers. They start following, and you continue to teach them to continue to follow all things what Christ has commanded. And so this gathering together into the ye is a very important aspect of the Christian life. Matter of fact, Samuel's dad, he's pastor at Coweta Baptist Church in Coweta, Oklahoma. He said this one time, and I agree 100% with it. He said the only life for the Christian is church life. He said that everything is entailed in the church. You know, we are all about what is involved in the church. If you look through the scriptures, every time somebody came to know the Lord, came to believe on Him, and was baptized, their whole life revolved around the church. In fact, we don't even do as much as they did. In the Acts, it says that they continued daily. I mean, we've kind of relegated everything to one day now. But we still can meet throughout the week and talk with each other and visit with each other, encourage one another, pray for one another, have dinner with one another. We don't have to just make it here on Sunday, right? We can fellowship and worship with each other, speak with each other throughout the week. But specifically when we come together for that one day out of the week that we put aside to meet, we come together as the ye. And that ye is built as a body. And the Bible says that that body functions as each member puts forth its part. And it works together, and that the little toe can't be without the big toe. And the eye can't be without the ear. We need each other.
And so that's why it's all about the assembling, the congregating, the coming together. It's an important thing. That's something that Christ designed for a reason. Y'all heard the illustrations. Y'all know all these illustrations. They're nothing new. Last night we were roasting weenies around the campfire. I don't know why we were doing that in the middle of August heat, but we were roasting weenies around the campfire. You have a bed of coals that are just glowing and doing good, but you get one of those coals out away from the rest, and what happens? It dies off. You know, you take if I would cut my little finger off, the rest of my body would probably live and go on and work, but that finger is going to die. It's cut off from the life of the rest of the body. And then that body is not going to work properly. It's not going to work like it could if it still had that finger on it. And so God has designed the church to be a functioning gathering assembly for a specific reason. Not only externally, as we've seen here, but internally, this is part of this too, but internally for our own edification. So you show me a side of Jesus that I don't know. I might show you a side of Jesus that you don't know. You might impart some understanding of Scriptures that I don't know, and I might impart some that you don't know. And just the service, the burdening of each other, one to another, the love one to another. And so the local church is an important aspect of that. And so that's why we do this as a ye and not as a thee. Okay? Anybody got any questions or comments or anything you'd like to add? All right. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll have lunch together. You guys are welcome to join us for lunch. There's plenty to eat. And then, Lord willing, we'll meet back here next week.